Hallelujah. Well, Father, you're a great God. And we lift our hands to you. You're an awesome God. There is no God besides you. You're the only God. You're the only wise God. And Father, we just bless you on tonight. We give you reverence, honor, and praise. And Father, we thank you so much for continuing to take care of our pastors and Pastor Craig as well. We thank you so much for blessing, using them. And Father, thank you so much for tonight, what you have for your people. There's always something good going on in the house of God. And Father, for those who haven't already flipped the switch of faith, we do so, Father, applying faith to the mighty word of God. Because we know these words are no ordinary words. These words are no dry, dusty words. No, these words are living. These words are full of life. Your words are dripping with anointing. And tonight, it's our intent to mix the word with faith. And Father God, we thank you for speaking to your people. Speak to everybody here, everyone watching via live stream or listening through some other venue, everyone here in this live service. Father, speak to hearts. Speak into situations. You know everybody here. You know every circumstance and situation. Speak to your people, Father God. We apply this word with faith, and we'll give you all of the glory. Thank you for the unction. Thank you for the utterance, and we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you can have your seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Amen. Amen. You have your Bible. Turn to Acts chapter 7 tonight. Acts chapter 7. Pastor Marvin already did me a solid by ginning up some amens for me. And amen. And that is a good motivation, though. That's how you get a preacher out of the way. Say amen, preacher, get out the way. Say what he got to say and get out the way. But I always say, you don't say amen, I think you ain't getting it. I try to start again. I go back over and say, Lord, they didn't get it. Let's start again from the first point. Let's go on back through it again and share it several ways. So you can get a preacher out the way tonight by just saying amen. It's a magical word. It's a magical word. So, no, the Lord is good tonight, you know. How many of you, the Lord's been good to you? Amen. The Lord is good to me as well. You know, this is Hour of Power. We're always, any of us always honored to pinch hit for Pastor. You know, he does some of his best teaching right here with us on Wednesday night. And oh my goodness, was it last Wednesday when he was preaching about the praise cure? Oh, if you didn't get that, please do yourself a favor. Oh my goodness. And so I love hearing Pastor on Wednesday nights as well. So, but we have an hour of power tonight. The Lord has laid something on our heart. This message came out. I was writing a message several weeks ago. We spoke not this past Sunday night, but the Sunday night before that on the 9th of April. And in preparing for that message on the 9th of April, then the Lord had me then in the book of Acts chapter 7. We preached a message, Seven Secrets of Stephen's Success, on the 9th of April. As I was preparing for that message, part of the way through, man, I thought, Lord, you're giving me so many things, and I know they're not all going to fit in that Sunday night message. I got a problem. What you're giving me is not going to fit. And but I realized then, preparing, that I was actually preparing two messages. And so we wrote that message for the 9th, and then at that same time, we prepared what fit right here, this message. So tonight, we're talking out of Acts chapter 7. And we're talking about the promise. Everybody say the promise. The presence. And the power. Now say that with me. The promise. The presence. And the power. We're in Acts chapter 7. And of course, I'm not going to run back through all the history of what we did on the 9th. But a man from the church, Stephen. Of course, my son Stephen is named after this man in Scripture. Stephen has long been one of my favorite characters in Scripture. He was just an ordinary member of the church who was in love with God and filled with the Holy Ghost, and God used him in a mighty way. He was the first martyr for the church, but my son is actually named after this man, Stephen. My son's Stephen. My Stephen's 30 years old now. It's so amazing. I'm not old. He's getting older, but I'm not getting older. But Stephen is one of the seven deacons chosen from Acts chapter 6 when there was a dispute between the Greek-speaking widows and the Jewish-speaking widows as to the daily distribution of food. And the apostle said it wouldn't be right for us to neglect the word of God our responsibilities to the word. So choose seven men full of faith, full of wisdom, who have great reputations around the church, and put them in charge of this task. And when they got seven, Stephen was the first one they came up with. They laid hands on them and enabled them to effectively, serve that need in the church. And chapter six gives us a little insight into the man himself. But chapter seven is an amazing, amazing chapter. Stephen gets into an argument with members of essentially a cult. And look at chapter 6. I know we're going to chapter 7, but chapter 6, just give you a quick background. Chapter 6, verse 8, it says, Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Verse 9, but some men from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen, including the Cyrenians and Alexandrians and some from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and argued with Stephen. But they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Verse 11, they secretly induced men to say, we've heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people. So they go on, what's happening here? They could not, God gave Stephen such wisdom when he was speaking, and they couldn't cope with that wisdom, the Bible says. And so instead of just repenting and believing the message that Stephen was giving, they got hard-hearted and calloused, and they paid people to tell lies about him. And so then they took him before the council, the Jewish council, the Jewish, kind of like the Jewish Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin, if you will, 70 leaders of Israel plus the high priest. And they had the authority to take your life. And they took him before the council with trumped up charges, and people who were lying, say, they were telling lies, saying he lied against Moses. He lied against the word. He said that Jesus was going to destroy the temple. They just had a bunch of lies. And anyway, in chapter 7, where we're going now, they give him an opportunity to speak. And we're going to spend the balance of our time in these three areas, speaking about God's promise, God's presence, and God's power. And so we're in Acts chapter 7, verse 1. When they give him a chance to speak, it says, the high priest said, are these things so? Verse 2, and he said, hear me, brethren and fathers, the glory of God appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. And he said to him, leave your country and your relatives and come into the land that I will show you. And then he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Broken Arrow. Oh, my bad. My bad. Settled in Haran. It just said that in my Bible. I'm sorry. He settled in Haran. And he said to him, leave your country and your relatives, come into the land I will show you. And then he left the land of the Chaldeans, settled in the land of Haran. From there, after his father died, God said to him, move to this country into which you are now living. But he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot of ground. And yet, even when he had no child, he promised that he would give it to him as a possession and to his descendants after him. And so God made him leave everything that he was comfortable with and around his surroundings. And walking with God always requires obedience. Don't care who we are in the body of Christ. To walk with the Lord requires obedience from you and I. Amen. And so Abraham obeyed God. But one of the most phenomenal things as you follow his story is God made this man such an amazing, amazing promise. And of course, we all know his story. He and Sarah couldn't have any children, and yet God had made him a promise about children that he couldn't have. Now that'll play tricks on your mind. God ever made you a promise and it just seems so unlikely? Sometimes God is such an awesome God, and his promises are true. His promises are real. And sometimes, though, there's no way for some things that God promises to happen unless he just has to do it. He has to open the door. He has to do that. There's things God promises. There's no way you can do that. I remember back in the late 1990s, and the Lord was speaking to me. I'm working in business, and the Lord was speaking to me about going into ministry. And the Lord showed me that he was going to move me from business into ministry, that he would do it. And man, I tell you, through the through the weeks and months when the Lord first started speaking to me, man, it was a couple years out. It just seemed so unlikely. And, you know, it was funny, you know, seemed like the Lord just blessing everything business-wise that I was doing. Everything I was doing just seemed like the Lord was blessing. Just seemed like it was turning to gold. My stations were making money. I was making money. Everybody was happy. And I had a great team. I had 5 managers working for me and just couldn't have had better people working for me. We just functioned well as a team. And just seemed like everything I was touching turned to gold. But I had my mind on the promise of the Lord that he's going to move me from business to ministry. And I got increasingly less satisfied with business, and I was more and more interested in ministry. And it seemed like the more interested I was in ministry, the better I was doing in business. And I was clinging to the Lord's promise. It just seemed so unlikely. I was sitting at my desk one day. I was sitting at my senior manager's desk. Never forget it. I looked out the window at the passing traffic on Memorial, I said, Lord, I know your promise is real, but it just seems so far away. It seems like I'm on a train track over here, and your promise seems like it's way over there. And I can see the tracks, but I can't get to it. It's frustrating for me. You've made me a promise, but I don't know how it's going to come to pass. Oh, but if the Lord has made you a promise, I want to tell you tonight, it shall come to pass. I don't care how long it's been, it shall come to pass. If the Lord promised you something, it shall come to pass at last. You say, but preacher, it takes so long. I don't care how long it's taken. A day with the Lord seems like 1,000 years to you and I, Peter told us. Heaven is not bound by space and time. But to the Lord, it always just seems like it's just been a day. Something takes so long. We're always saying, how long, Lord, how long? It just seems like from heaven's perspective, just seemed like it'd been a day. We all have relatives who have passed on to the other side, to heaven. And sometimes you seem like, man, you know, my dad went to heaven. Man, 2014, been 3 years. My best friend. But when I see my dad again, he's going to say, Bill, it was just a day from the last time I saw you. God is a promise keeper. And he knows how to accomplish that which he has promised you. And he knows how to bring it to pass. And I never forget, it was on my birthday, November 25th, 2001. And we had gone to Tiamo's restaurant, 61st and Sheridan. And we're only in there because some of my employees had given me a gift card the year before that was expiring that year. That's the only reason we went there. And it was Sunday after church, 2001, November 25th. And we were sitting there. One of our relatives had been visiting, and we were sitting in the restaurant. About halfway through our meal, I remember the whole Hagen family walked in. Restaurant, Tiamo's, was packed. I'll never forget it. And there were like 3 or 4 tables that were empty, but the rest of the restaurant was packed. I just spoke there for a group, 2 or 3 Saturday nights ago. I spoke at that Tiamo's. When I walked in there, it was like a flashback. I walked in there, I could see where we were sitting. I could see when the Hagen family came in, I could see where they all sat. They pushed these tables together in there. And so we were about 30 minutes into that meal. I'll never forget. And Pastor Hagen, he kept looking at me during the meal. We all said hi, we knew each other, but we were already well into our meal. He said hi, and I said hi, and he motioned me to go to the back of the restaurant with him. We went back there, and he said, Bill, look, can we talk next week? I said, sure. We went out to dinner. That's when he asked me to come on staff. Yeah. And after that conversation, I'll never forget it, because a whole lot of things got real clear real quick. You know, hindsight's always 20/20. You can always look back on circumstances and see the hand of God, how God was speaking to you. The Lord was, you can see it so clear afterwards. Isn't that right? Well, sometimes we need a little help before, which is why we're preaching this message. We're talking about his promise right here. He made a promise to Abraham. He made a promise to you. He's made promises. The Bible says, 2 Peter 1:4, whereby have been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so God has given us all these exceeding promises. And I was in Tiamos and I looked there and I just had a flashback. I just said, thank you, Lord. Just sat there for a minute saying, thank you, Lord. My whole life changed right here in this restaurant. I said, thank you, Lord. You were faithful to keep your promise. I had no idea I'd be working here. I wasn't concerned about working here at Rhema. I was just concerned about going into ministry full time. I didn't care where the Lord sent me. And had no idea till Pastor asked me to go to the back of that restaurant. He didn't say what he wanted, but when I got in my car, I knew what it was. And I said, God, you're a promise keeper. And sometimes it may seem like the Lord is not going to keep his promise. But I want to say again to you, it shall come to pass at last. I said, it shall, say it with me, it shall come to pass at last. And so you stay faithful. Stay faithful. And if God has spoken to you, he's an awesome God. And he'll do what he promised. We're talking about the promise tonight. We're talking about the presence. We're talking about the power. Right there, when we read it, verse 2, talking about Abraham, it said that the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. See, he appeared to him first. And then what did he do? He made him a promise. And we read that at verse 5. He promised he'd give it to him as a possession, as an inheritance. And so God made him just the most, as I say, the most amazing amazing promise. And if you'll hang in there, God will bring his promise to pass in your life. And the Bible says this, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Sometimes, my friend, we need to be more specific with God. We need to be able to tell God not just what we're believing for, but we need to have chapter and verse for it. We need to be able to say, but God, you promised. I said, I wish I had an amen. Amen. I said, if God promised, he'll bring it to pass. But we need to be more forthright in our claiming and knowing what he's promised. We need to have chapter and verse on what it is he's promised to us. I said, amen, because he's obligated to keep his promises. Now, I know my two sons, they always held me accountable to my promise. I learned very early on as a father, as a new dad, I learned very, very early on, do not make any promises. You know, if you're not going to keep them, don't make a promise. It'd be better not to make it, because if you make it, you're going to have to keep that promise. One time I was putting JP to bed. He's just a little boy. And I was putting him to bed. We'd said our prayers. And JP said, he said, Dad, he said, you promised that you were going to take me to McDonald's today. And I said, yes, son, but that was early while it's day. We didn't said our prayers. You're ready for bed. You got school tomorrow. There's just no way. He said, Dad, you promised. I looked down at him little eyes. I said, oh, Lord. My wife said, where are you going? I said, I'll explain later. We headed off to McDonald's. One time I was leaving for the airport, and one of my sons said, Dad, I was going somewhere to preach. And one of my sons said, Dad, you promised we was going to throw the ball. I said, oh, Lord. My wife said, if you stop this car, you're going to miss that plane. I said, stop the car. Let me get out. I said, get me the glove. Let's throw the ball. I promised. There's no promise keeper like Father God. He is the best promise keeper. And if you think that God has failed to be faithful, because sometimes we get it twisted, you know what I'm saying? If something happened and we're not sure why it happened and we just got a little shaky. And so sometimes we start thinking that God has not been faithful. But I came to tell you tonight, God is a faithful promise keeper. Oh, yes, he is. He's a faithful. And you might have to go back and rehearse your history and see where something went wrong. But here's what you'll find out. There's no error on the side of Father God. If you're going to find something wrong, you better look in the mirror. But you're not going to find an error with him. With Abraham, he was very specific about his promise. And a man who could have no children kept believing that promise. And after 25 years, it came to pass at last. And here come Isaac on the scene. And Abraham realized, God, he's a promise keeper. God, he won't let you down. God, you can cling to his word. God, you can depend on him. God, he'll sure enough come through for you. God, he is Abba. He is your father. He will not fail you. He will not let you down. You can count on him. Take it to the bank. The promise, the presence, and the power. And so with Abraham, we see those dealings about his promise. But then, you know, reading down, it's too long to read this Acts chapter 7, Stephen's brilliant defense. But when you get down to verse 9 is where we're going. He starts speaking about Joseph. Essentially, he talks about three main people in his defense. The first one is Abraham, and he rehearses the promise of God to Abraham. The next one he talks about is Joseph, and he rehearses the presence of God with Joseph. And the next one he talks about is Moses, and he rehearses the power of God with Moses. And so that's what we're talking about tonight. And so down at verse 9 is where we're going. But for context's sake, let's look at verse 8. For context's sake, verse 8, he says, and he gave him the covenant of circumcision, still talking about Abraham. And so Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. And Isaac became the father of Jacob, and Jacob of the 12 patriarchs. Verse 9, this is where we're going. And the patriarchs became jealous of Joseph and sold him into Egypt. And yet God was with him. Everybody say, God was with him. God was with him and rescued him from all his afflictions and granted him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh. Now, somebody's in here tonight, or someone's watching through some other venue or listening some other way, and this word is for you. Verse 10, God was with him and rescued him from all of his affliction, granted him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh. I said, God's a mighty God. We're talking about our second point tonight. You say, what was your first point? His promise. Now we're talking about the second point, his presence. You notice right there, he said his brother sold him. The patriarchs became jealous of Joseph. They sold him into Egypt. And yet God was with him. Verse 9. Yet God was with him. God was with him. You know, every time you read about this man, Joseph, that phrase seems to come up again and again, that the Lord was with him. We're talking about the presence of the Lord. The Lord was with him. See, the Lord, he's with you tonight. You know, it's tricky sometimes because you don't always feel like he's with you. But it don't matter what you feel like. He's with you anyway. I got up this morning. I didn't feel like going to the gym. The person next to me said, how you feeling? I said, well, I'm here. No, we do a bunch of things we don't always feel like. Many of y'all got up and went to work today. You didn't feel like going. You know payday's coming. Am I right about it? You don't always feel like going to work, but you get up and go anyway. You know what that proves? We have the ability to ignore our feelings. We do that everywhere but the house of God. We ignore our feelings everywhere, but when we come to God, now we want to feel everything. I said his presence is with you. The presence of the Lord is with you. The presence of the Lord is in you. The presence of the Lord is upon you. The presence of the Lord is with you. I said, amen. Somebody said tonight, but I feel so alone. You're not alone. He said, I will never, ever, ever forsake you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. He said, I'll never. And when he said it in the original language, he said, I will never, ever, ever leave you or forsake you. Amen. It's a promise. Talking about his presence. And so the Bible said the Lord was with Joseph. You know, when you read about Joseph's life, we don't have time to turn there, but back in Genesis 39:2, it says that the Lord was with Joseph, and so he became a successful man. Later at Potiphar's house, the Bible says, but the Lord was with him. The Lord was with Joseph at Potiphar's house, so Potiphar entrusted him with everything. That was Genesis 39:21. Later at the jail, at the prison, it says that the prison, the head of the prison trusted Joseph because the Lord was with him. It seemed like the more stuff that folk did to this man, he just kept the right attitude, stayed in faith. He just hung on to his promise, hung on to the presence of the Lord, knew the presence of the Lord was with him, knew the power of God was with him, always seemed to have a great attitude, even in the midst of adversity. But over and over again, you read about him, that phrase follows Joseph, and the Lord was with him. And what follows that phrase, the Lord was with him, and he gave him favor. Over and over again, the Lord was with Joseph. What's your point, preacher? The Lord's with you. Whatever you may be going through tonight, whatever you may be experiencing, good, bad, or ugly, the Lord is with you. And you need to remind yourself that you're not alone. I said, I wish I had an amen there. Amen. I said, it's good to remind yourself you're not alone. Amen. You might be feeling lonely, but you need to tell your mind, look, quiet down, mind. How can I be alone if the Lord said, I will never, ever leave you or forsake you? Amen. We're not alone tonight. Amen. God himself is with you. Talking about the presence of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. And so the Bible said, Psalm 27:10, if my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. His presence. Psalm 97, verse 5, the Bible says, the mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. Acts 3:19 says that there are times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord. And if you're feeling dry and crusty tonight in your spiritual walk, God's got refreshment for you. God's got an oasis for you. God's got a brook that's overflowing waiting on you. And I tell you where it's going to come from. It's going to come from you getting into his presence. Sometimes you need to just turn that TV off and get into his presence. Sometimes you need to just put the Facebook down and get into his presence. Sometimes you need to forget about what you're snapping on and get into his presence. Sometimes you need to forget about the paper or what's in the news and get into the news of heaven, God's news about you, and get into his presence and let his presence refresh you, because the Bible said there are times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. Hey, and if you'll get in his presence, he will wash you. He will strengthen you. He will soak you with his presence. And not only that, he will sustain you. His presence will strengthen you. His presence is in you, but his presence will also come upon you, and his presence will strengthen you. And Isaiah said, they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll walk and not be weary, and they'll run and not faint. They'll mount up with wings like an eagle. Comes from the presence of the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord, who wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord where? In his presence. Wait on him in his presence. I said he will refresh you. He will so renew you. And we're talking about his promise. And we're talking about his presence now with Joseph, because the Bible said that the Lord was with Joseph. His presence was always with Joseph. His presence is always with you. And I'll tell you one problem we have sometimes. We just let what we're going through get in the way sometimes. I said amen. And sometimes we can be going through, situations and circumstance. And sometimes we allow situation and circumstance to get in the way of the presence of the Lord. You remember outside the tomb of the Lord Jesus, Mary did that. She allowed situation and circumstance to get in the way of the presence of the Lord. And she was looking for the Lord. She didn't see his body. And she was just crying. She just allowed her emotions to so overwhelm her. She was so overwhelmed, not knowing where he was, what had happened, if the promises were true, and where it was presence. She didn't feel his presence. But you know, the Bible said this, we walk by faith, not by sight. Said we walk by faith, not by sight. And so, as a Christian, you're not always going to feel the presence of the Lord. I took my vitamins today. I didn't feel my vitamins after I took them. You know, I took my general vitamin, my omega-3s then, and I took that. And I didn't walk around saying, I don't feel that working. I don't feel the vitamin. I'm trying to feel the vitamin working. God is there whether you feel him or not. He is there. And if you'll remind yourself, David said, why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your trust in God. And David said, we're not going to go through that. We're going to trust the Lord. And so don't worry about if you don't always feel it. You're welcome to being a Christian. You ain't always feel it. Mary was outside that tomb and she didn't feel it. But she started talking and then, you know, the Bible said that the Lord Jesus stood right there and started talking to her. That's what she's crying about. She was overcome with emotion though, and it clouded, situation, circumstance, clouded the presence of the Lord. And so the Bible tells what she thinks. She thought he was the gardener. And so she started talking to Jesus like he the gardener. And she said, "Sir, if you have moved his body, then tell me where you have moved him. You're just a gardener. You had no business touching his body. You're just a gardener. Now tell me where his body is." You remember what happened? Jesus called her name. Jesus said, "Mary." She said, "Rabboni." She thought he was the gardener. He was right there present with her. Don't be treating the Lord like he's the gardener when he's right there present with you. And so we're talking about his mighty promise. We saw it displayed through Abraham. His mighty presence, we see it demonstrated through the life of Joseph. And yet with Moses, we see the final point tonight, the third point, God's mighty power demonstrated through the life of Moses. And so we see in the seventh chapter, of course, he had spoken about Abraham from verses 2 through verse 8. And then he spoke about Joseph, verses 9 through 19. And then about verse 20, he picks up talking about Moses. And so when we go there, it says this. Let's start at 19. We're going to verse 20. But verse 19 says, "It was he who took shrewd advantage of our race and mistreated our fathers," talking about that Pharaoh that came after Joseph, "mistreated our fathers so that they would expose their infants and they would not survive. And it was at this time that Moses was born. And he was lovely in the sight of God. And he was nurtured 3 months in his father's home." And so the scripture tells us that God caused Moses to come on the scene at just the right time. And you know something, my brother and sister? He has caused you to be born at just the right time. At just the right time in history, at just the right time to accomplish his plan, at just the right time, the Lord caused you to come on the scene, just like he did Moses. And the Bible says that Moses experienced such power from the Lord. And when he was at the burning bush, oh man, God spoke to him through that burning bush. Now you talk about a powerful experience with God. Let's slip down to verse 37. We're in Acts chapter 7. We're at verse 37. We're on our final point. We're talking about the power of God. We've talked about his promise. We've talked about his presence. And now we're talking about his power. For his promise, we talked about Abraham. For his presence, we talked about Joseph. And now for his power, we're talking about Moses. "This is the Moses," verse 37, "who said to the sons of Israel, 'God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren.' This is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness together with the angel who was speaking to him on Mount Sinai, who was with our fathers. And he received living oracles to pass on to you." And, you know, it's so powerful because, you know, up there on the mountain, God, of course, gave Moses the Ten Commandments and God, you know, carved those commandments into those rocks that Moses had. God carved his commandments into those rocks. And today he's carved his word into our heart. It was so powerful. Moses, when he first encounters God, the scripture says that he approaches a bush that keeps burning. It won't be consumed. There's a fire blazing, but it doesn't consume the bush. And Stephen, telling the history, says that it was really an angel who spoke to him from that bush. It was powerful. You know the story. When it was time for them to be delivered out of Egypt, God sent Moses and he told him to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And you know the story. We were watching it the other day, you know, the TV version, whatever. But he told Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Remember, Pharaoh said he's not going to let the people go. And then, just one plague hit. And Pharaoh said, "I'm not letting them go." And Moses said, "God told you to let my people go." Bam, two plagues hit that place. Pharaoh said, I'm not letting him go. Bam, three plagues hit that place. Pharaoh said, I refuse to let him go. Four, five, six plagues hit that place. Seven, eight, nine, 10 plagues hit that place. And you know what? Israel was marching out of Egypt. God had promised them that he was going to deliver them after 430 years of slavery and bondage. God had made them a promise. God had assured them of his presence. God had assured them they would have his power. And after 10 plagues, they were marching out of Egypt. And the thing about it is, in that desert, they needed bread, but God gave them manna. They needed water, but God bought water from a rock. They needed meat, but God bought quail from all over the north, the east, the south, and the west. He sustained them in that desert. Their shoes didn't even wear out. When they left Egypt, not a one of them was feeble and sick. He sustained them for 40 years in that desert. Your God, our God, is a God of awesome power. And whatever you need him to do tonight, he will do that for you. If you'll rely on his promise, if you'll remind yourself of his presence, and if you'll trust his mighty power. And don't forget this, his power resides on the inside of you. Jesus said in Acts 1:8 that you shall receive power, dynamite, dunamis, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. If you're a believer tonight, that dunamis power resides on the inside of you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much tonight. We honor you, bless you, and reverence you. Thank you so much for your promise. Thank you so much, Father God, for your mighty presence. And thank you so much for the display of your power. We trust you and look to you. Help your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my friend, that's it for tonight. If you need prayer, all of our prayer teams are coming. These folks are prayed up, and they can remind you of God's promises, and they can certainly pray his presence upon you. Your presence is in you if you're a believer. And they can certainly demonstrate the power of God. And so you need prayer tonight. And when we dismiss in a moment, you come on forward. And if you know how we do by now, guys, go to the guys, gals, go to the gals. These folks will pray for you. You won't leave here like you came. Whatever you need, salvation, baptism of the Holy Spirit, want special prayer for something, then remember that. Let's not forget to pray for our pastors. Pastor Mrs. Hagen, Pastor Craig is out with them, I believe. Let's remember to hold them up in our prayers, and then we'll see you right here on Wednesday night. Did we have any first-time guests? We did. Okay, if our first-time guests now could go with our connection team workers, they are going to escort you to a place that they're not going to hold you very long. They just got a good gift waiting on you. So if you'll go with them real quick, they're going to give you that gift. And so just stand right up there. Yeah. And we had so many visitors tonight. We're not visitors. You're our guests, right? Amen. You're our family. So we just want you to know that we love you, and we hope you'll consider Rhema. If you're from this local area, hey, we want to be your church family. And if you're from outside the area, just come on back anytime you're in this area. Man, we just have so many first-time guests. Give another big hand. Come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're just glad you came. We're going to give you a gift. They're not going to hold you long. They're going to give you a great gift, just like we promised. Pastor and Mrs. Hagen just thought that it would be great to give all of our first-time guests a great gift. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to give you a great gift in the name of the Lord. All right, stand up on your feet, my brother and sister. If all hearts and minds are free, remember, be right here on Sunday morning. Pastor will be bringing a powerful word. And be here for School of the Bible, 9 a.m. Anything else from anybody? Did we miss anything? Anybody? No? Okay. Well, then you are dismissed. God bless you.